Hello and welcome to our site as we return to our series Back to the Bible. We're in the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, so if you have a Bible handy, please turn to 1 Samuel. And we started out with 1 Samuel giving a bit of an overview and some comments last Sunday. And we're going to spend a few Sundays just thinking about David. And so I've entitled our message for today, David, God's Shepherd. And we will look at the different facets of David's life as we go along, because we have so much to learn from them. After centuries of roller coaster histories under the judges, as we saw last Sunday, Israel cried out for a king. They wanted to be like the other nations. This both grieved and angered the Lord, for he was their king, and if only they would listen to him and obey his commandments, he would also be their shepherd, guiding them, providing for them, protecting them, and fulfilling his purpose for them. For they were to be a light to the nations, not like the other nations. They were to be on mission with God. They had a global and an almost eternal purpose in the plan of God. Their mission was to bring the knowledge of the glory of the true and living God to all the peoples of the earth. And I suppose few men have ever had a better chance in life than Saul, Israel's first king. He was gifted, good-looking, a good commander of his army. He was chosen, called, and anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. He had some truly outstanding qualities, but he also had a flawed character. In his heart were the seeds of impatience, anger, jealousy, compromise, self-will, and unbelief. And when these seeds germinated, not only did God reject him from being king, but God sent an evil spirit to torment him, so that at times his disturbed personality was wild and irrational. The prophet Samuel had to say to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel away from you and given it to one better than you." 1 Samuel 15 and verse 28. And thus we come to the story of David, the remarkable story of a man after God's own heart. Herd boy, psalmist, poet, singer and dancer, and ruler over Israel, the one who became Israel's favorite king. David's story divides so easily and naturally into the various stages of his life, so we're going to look at them and learn some lessons from them, God willing, in the next few Sundays. Today, David, God's shepherd. And our story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16 from verse 1. So if you have your Bible, please turn to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, the first book of Samuel, chapter 16, reading from verse 1. "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king.'" Verse 4, Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in, and he was ruddy, he was with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendants said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the harp. He will play, and when the evil spirit from God comes upon you, you will feel better." So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him." Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor-bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." Whenever the spirit, that is the evil spirit, sent from God, came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. Reminds me of what the great reformer Martin Luther once said about Satan. He called him God's devil. Yes, friend, the devil is very real. Satan is very real. So his demons that he uses in his vile and evil purposes. But praise God, God is all-powerful, and we have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ over all the power of the enemy. But as Martin Luther says, sometimes God uses the devil and his minions to accomplish his own purposes. Well, the story of David the shepherd. David, God's shepherd. Saul proved that a man can have good characteristics and yet still have a flawed character. How often don't we see that? Saul had a bad habit of compromising God's commands. He refused to wait on God, he refused to wait for God, and he failed to trust the word of God and the servant of God, Samuel. Others trembled with fear in Samuel's presence, but not Saul. Sadly, he was not good at following directions, and he took matters into his own hands. David, on the other hand, starts out just the opposite. He trusts God implicitly. He has the highest regard for God's anointing, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And as we will see, he refuses time and again to take matters into his own hands. I believe we can safely say that as a boy shepherd, the foundations of David's life were laid in the time he spent alone with God. We're not told very much about his parents, but I think he must have had godly parents who taught him well. You'll remember that his great-grandfather was Boaz, who married Ruth the Moabitess. His grandfather was their son Obed, and his father Obed's son Jesse. So we're on holy ground here because we're dealing with Messiah's lineage. And David is a man after God's own heart because he's in so many ways like Jesus, great David's greatest son, as he is referred to in the Bible sometimes, the Son of God, the Son of David. There are so many parallels between David and our Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from the fact that they were both Jewish and shared a common ancestry, being in the lineage of Judah, so alike in their anointing and their regard for the anointing of God upon their lives, in their obedience to God as their Heavenly Father. David and Jesus so alike in the sufferings that they endured and the way they endured them, in the wisdom that they had which was from God, the way they displayed that wisdom in difficult situations. David and Jesus so alike in their love of the truth, their love of God and His Word, their loyalty to covenant, so alike in their meekness, their gentleness, in their compassion, in their love for Jerusalem and Israel, and in their zeal for God's house. So David the shepherd took what he had been taught about God as a child, and he spent his teenage years exploring it, experimenting with it, and applying it. He made time to build a strong, personal, ever-growing relationship with God. He developed a shepherd's eye, a shepherd's mind, a shepherd's heart. He focused on every detail of God's creation. To him it was all an awesome revelation of God Himself. David would have agreed wholeheartedly with the Apostle Paul that the imprint of the Creator is seen in the created order and in all the splendor of the universe. To David, only a fool could say, "There is no God," for he saw the evidence of God's power and splendor and majesty and wisdom in the sun and the moon and the stars, in the mountains and the valleys and the streams of the fields, the trees and the flowers, the animals, the birds, the lightning, the thunder and the wind and the storm. David recognized God in all His created order. We see that time and again in the Psalms that he writes. Psalm 19, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat." In Psalm 8 and verse 1, David says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man, that you care for him?" Psalm 148, a psalm of praise to the Lord. What a wonderful psalm this is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Unlike so many young people today who are often at a total loss when they're alone and haven't a clue how to handle solitude, David learned how to meditate, how to mull over the mysteries of God and man and life and eternity. David's world was God's tent, and God lived in it. He said, "I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, on the works of your wonderful being. All your works shall praise you, O Lord." And God used David's openness of character to build the foundation that would equip him for greatness, teaching us all that our formative years of surrender to God are foundational for the superstructure of Christian service. David learned wisdom and discernment and reverence for God, the core values of a worthwhile life. He made sure that when he led his father's sheep, they were watered where it was safe and still. They were fed where the pastures were most wholesome, and they were led down carefully chosen paths. They were rested, they were protected, they were cared for. He named them all, he studied them all, he loved them all, despite their foolishness. If he couldn't be a good shepherd of his father's sheep, how could he shepherd God's people? God was training him for leadership, and it all helped him to come to know the love of the great shepherd of Israel, the Lord himself. One day when he was feeling good about his role as a shepherd and his relationship with the Lord, he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He leads me to green pastures and beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for he is with me, and his rod and staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my cup with oil. He anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely his goodness and mercy will flank me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." "Save your people and bless your inheritance," he prayed. "Be their shepherd and carry them forever." Psalm 28 and verse 9. And then Psalm 78. Psalm 78, if you'd like to turn there in your Bible. In Psalm 78 and verses 70 to 72, we read, "God chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands he led them." No wonder God chose him. Through the days and through the nights in the field, leading his father's sheep through all kinds of countryside and all kinds of weather, David, rather like Elijah and John the Baptist and Saul of Tarsus in his 3 years in Arabia, was schooled in the university of God. Friend, only those who've been brought through the wilderness with God are equipped for the promised land. If you're not secure in God, you're not secure. The psalmist says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?" My help comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord is my keeper. David knew no false dichotomy between the sacred and the secular. To this young shepherd, all of life was sacred, and he developed a holistic and full-orbed worship. He loved the Lord with all his heart and mind and soul and strength. His life and love for God was not perfect, just genuine. He wrote of God in poems and songs. He played to God. He learned to play the harp skillfully and beautifully. He sang to the Lord. He sang new songs to the Lord, and he encourages us to do the same in several of his psalms, saying, "Sing to the Lord a new song." And he danced before the Lord with a full heart. 1 Chronicles 15:29, David was dancing before the Lord when the ark was returned to Jerusalem. I'm sure that wasn't the first time David had ever danced before the Lord. The young shepherd David teaches us some very important lessons this morning that we can take home with us. Lesson number one, David the shepherd, God's shepherd, teaches us that our personal relationship with God is the single most important factor in our life. Can I repeat that? Our personal relationship with God is the single most important factor in our life. With the Lord as our shepherd, we lack nothing. Second lesson from David, God's shepherd, all of life is sacred. All of life should be treated as sacred. It's God's gift to us. It's God's world that we live in. Everything we have comes from God, and it all should be returned to God with thanksgiving, giving him the praise and the glory. There's no dichotomy between the secular and the sacred for the true follower of Jesus Christ, The most menial task is sacred when it's done in the name of Christ and for the glory of God. Third lesson we learn from David is that God looks at the heart, not the outward things that man or the world esteems. God is more concerned about your character than your car. He's more concerned about your heart than your house. He's more concerned about your business ethics than your business, your faithfulness than your failure, your conscientiousness. He sees your potential, not your performance. Man looks at the outward appearance, said the prophet Samuel, but God looks at the heart. What does he find in your heart and in mine this morning? The fourth lesson that we can learn from David, God's shepherd, is that our motivation should come from our meditation, what we know of God. Friend, don't ever miss your quiet time with the Lord. As you set out into each day, make sure that you've already had a time with God, meditating in His Word, making sure that you have gleaned from His Word a promise that you can keep, that you can trust in, a command maybe that you should obey. What is the Lord saying to you through His Word today? Our motivation should come from our meditation in the Word of God. And then fifth lesson, worship should be full-orbed and holistic. Heart, mind, soul, and strength were involved in David's worship. It's not only meditation. Impression should result in expression. What are we offering to God in terms of worship? David shows us that worship should be the expression of our whole life lived Godward, a whole life lived day by day to the glory of God in what we think and say and do. And then lesson number six, David shows us there's awesome power in praise, with musical instruments, with songs of worship, with hymns of praise. There's power in praise, whether it's said or sung. Praise exposes sin. Praise will expel Satan. Praise will execute self. Praise will exalt the Savior. Praise will enthrone Jesus as Lord in our lives. Satan cannot abide in the heart that is filled with praise to God. And then finally, David shows us that mission flows out of worship. If we're truly worshippers of the true and living God, then our heart's desire will be to be on mission with Him every day, to be able to appropriate His grace, to be able to bring to Him each day a wholehearted commitment to His will for our lives. Mission is our response to the glory of God. That glory must cover the earth. It will one day, and we're here to get that whole process going. Mission is our response to the grace of God at work in our lives through the gospel. Like the Apostle Paul, David would have been able to say, "The love of God constrains me. I can do no other. I need to love God and love people and seek to share the good news of God's grace and love with others." May the Lord bless us as we take away these lessons from David, God's shepherd. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that every scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, reproving, instructing us in righteousness, giving us all that we need to be all that You want us to be. And so we thank You for Your word and the gift of an open Bible. Thank You, dear Lord, that the entrance of Your word gives light, and grant that, like young David, we may meditate in Your word, and that we may be built up and strengthened daily in Your word, that we won't go out into any day without saying, "This is the word that I have from the Lord today." Thank You, Father, that if we abide in Your word, we will abide in Your will for our lives. And so we pray that daily we may be strengthened by your word. And we pray that, like David, we will become good shepherds of others, the children you've entrusted to our care, the grandchildren or the great-grandchildren, or our friends and neighbours. Help us, dear Lord, like David, to have a shepherd's heart and a shepherd's mind, a shepherd's eye, and to care for others. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can commit one another to you today, and pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit may be ours this day and forevermore. Amen.
Conqueror has risen, and as the stone